mother's crying out, let the sun shine down on me. Sunshine down on me.
Cam and Reggie Harris at the Saturday Light Brigade, let the sun shine down on me. From Dear Gene, artists celebrate Gene Ritchie. Lorraine and Bennett Hammond, Magpie, Dale Ann Bradley, Allison Brown, Pete Seeger, Kathy Mattea, and more on that album with songs of Gene Ritchie. And Lambert and Nuttycombe did My Own Beat. Kevin is listening in Irwin. Good morning, Kevin. He knew the word that we were looking for. So, Grandma, you gave Kevin an entertaining puzzle, and us too. The word? Mollycoddle. Mollycoddle. And that was a great puzzle, Grandma. So, Mollycoddle. Woman's first name, syllables one and two, is Molly. Type of fish, cod. And not sharp is dull. Molly, cod, dull. Mollycoddle. And that's one of those words that's fun to say and fun to use. Gosh, if your last name was Coddle and somebody named you Molly, that would kind of be an interesting thing to think through. It's probably not going to happen, though. I do know a friend. I don't know these people specifically, but their last name was Cups. And indeed, there was a Dixie and a Stanley in their family. And here at the Children's Museum, which is just about ready to open, where our studios are located, we've met some families where all the kids have names that begin with the same first letter, and things like that. It's kind of fun. Well, coming up, we have a feature for National Poetry Month, and then we are going to talk with some writers from the Scholastic Writing Awards program. You don't want to miss what's coming up. Also in our next hour, we have a 12-year-old classical guitar player. And just to help bring the average up in our last hour today, Frank Maynard will be here. He is in his early 90s. And Lisa Seal made us aware of him. And we're thrilled that we're able to have him here with us this morning. He is a professional singer. He's also written some songs, and he'll join us in our 11 o'clock hour, an hour from now. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and slbradio.org/radio. Now, a feature for National Poetry Month.
My name's Henry, I'm 12, and I go to Kappa, and this is my poem, The Words in the Wind. The soft-spoken wind, not whispering, but silently muttering in my ear. His little voice wanders through the air and spills into the people's ears. All the words like little kids running and jumping. The syllables, their parents, calling for them, binding them together. The words softly spoken in the wind only for those to hear.
My name's Amaya, and I go to SciTech. My poem is something that I thought about on the top of my head, so I'll start then. You wake up, it is dark. You wonder why you're in the park. You have a flashback with lights flashing green. You close your eyes, and when you open them, there's nothing to be seen. Everything is pitch black. You feel something touching your back. You scream, no one hears you. Suddenly, you see a deer. But you think something is not right here. You look again. Nothing is clear. A sharp pain you feel maybe in your ear. You see a fire burn bright. It lights up the night. But suddenly, it is gone. You hear a bang, and you know something is wrong. You drop to the floor, not alive anymore.
Hello, my name is Eric, and my poem's called My Love. I seen her, wondering, do she see me? Feeling invisible to her eyes, trying not to be weird, feeling like I was never there. I walked over to her and said, will you be my love?
Hi, my name is Aja. I'm 12 years old and I go to Manchester School. Today I'm going to read a poem to y'all. Roses are red, violets are blue. When I see you, you give me the blues. The sky is blue, the clouds are gray, and when it starts to rain, I stay in all day.
My name is Tristan. I'm 14 and I go to Alderdice High School. This is a poem called Break the Silence about 21 Pilots. As the red eye closes and the yellow eye opens, as the vultures pose in silence, confetti falls through the walls that have kept him for far too long. He must escape to save his faith.
You can hear National Poetry Month features every week during April, 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock. And also go to slbradio.org for links to past poetry features broadcast on the radio here. And look at our Facebook and Instagram pages if you care to, where we'll be publishing features to celebrate National Poetry Month. In fact, we have a memoir, a poem, and some additional prose coming up in our next segment when we welcome three talented writers. So stick around for that, please.
We'll take the tin Lizzie and we'll head on down the road. We'll take the tin Lizzie and we'll head on down the road.
heading to somewhere we've never been before. You snip the line, I put the clothes in the bag. You snip the line, I put the clothes in the bag. It's the only way, honey, we ever get a shirt on our back. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. Heading to somewhere we've never been before. You grab the chickens, I grab the hog and the geese. You grab the chickens, I'll grab the hog and the geese. It's the only way, honey, we ever get something to eat. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. Heading to somewhere we've never been before. Like where we fit on in. We're gonna find us a place we like where we fit on in. I meet a whole lot of people who don't know where we've been. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. Heading to somewhere we've never been before. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. We'll take the tin, Lizzie, and we'll head on down the road. Heading to somewhere we've never been before.
The Saturday Light Brigade, that's Cecil B. Farduli and the Big Boo with a song called Tin Lizzie. The Saturday Light Brigade comes together with lots of help and in no particular order. Deanna Beringer, staff educator. Robert Gray, Director of Operations. Susan Blackman, Director of Development. Tad Whistle, Manager of Special Programs. Britt Hafley, Staff Educator. Alexis Thompson, Community Engagement Coordinator and Associate Producer. Morgan McCray is our high school intern. Ben Rutkowski, Senior Staff Educator. Janessa Scholler, Director of Programs. Chad Green, Manager of Production and Distribution. Ricky Berger, Executive Producer. And this is Larry Berger. Thank you for tuning in today, as we have been for the past few weeks. It's a real honor to be welcoming winners of the Scholastic Writing Awards. And we've had students from different schools and of different ages with a variety of different styles of writing. You're going to hear each of them share their work that they were honored for during this segment, and we'll also get to know each other a little bit. And I'm going to start by just asking you all to introduce yourself. Let us know your age, the school you go to, and if you have any shout-outs or acknowledgments, this is a perfect time to do it. Allie, we'll start with you.
Hi, my name's Allie, and I'm in eighth grade, and I go to Holy Cross Academy. I'm 13 years old, and my literature teacher, she had us all write short stories, and she allowed us to submit them in, and I did, and It was kind of nerve-wracking because I was, like, scared if I would win. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I would win. But it was kind of like, if I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. But when I won, I just kind of stood there. Like, it was really funny because she was announcing all of my friends' names and for, like, the silver key, which is what I won. And I just stood there when she announced my name. Like, I was in utter shock. It was really funny. All my friends started laughing at me.
You just brought back a memory of mine, Allie, which was winning an essay contest. And I would have been maybe 14 or 15. And it was not something you had a chance to polish or draft or redraft. I mean, they put us all in a room and you had to write right there. And then you turned in what you wrote. And I remember when they announced my name, I just kind of stood there and said, really? What? Huh? What's your teacher's name?
Mrs. Little.
Well, it's nice to hear that story. You were scared to submit it, did you say?
I mean, I was scared to submit it because I was like, I don't really think it's good enough. But like my Mrs. Little, she was like, just do it. I mean, if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. Like I think it's good enough.
She sounds like a great teacher. Let's meet who is on your left. Hi.
Hi, I'm Delina. I'm 17 years old, and I am a junior at Ben Trafford. I'd like to give a little shout out to my dad, my grandmother who's listening in, and my teacher, Mrs. Vukic, who, you know, convinced me to submit.
That's terrific. How were you notified that you received an award?
I think we had them announced. Oh, God, I can't even remember. It was kind of a blur for me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's hard to keep track, but it had to be an amazing feeling, I'm sure.
It was something. I didn't feel it for about an hour. I think it was my friend Mark, who's always more on top of these things. He won a silver key. He couldn't be here today. I think he's coming on in the next month at some point. Just notified me when he found out who the winners were. He, like, picked through for our names.
That's funny. I don't always know about those things either, and people have told me about things involving me that I didn't know about until they texted me and said, did you know this or did you know that? Well, it's nice to have you here. Who brought you here today?
Well, outside, there's my mother, Niat. She's very, very patient to have come in with me, so I didn't run away before you could turn the microphones on.
It's nice to see her. And I should have asked you that question too, Allie. Did somebody bring you here?
Yeah, my mom did.
Excellent. Now, let's meet. This is where I get good. I know that this is Sarah because I can't guess wrong. I know there's a Sarah here. I know it's not Allie, and I know it's not Delana. It's got to be you.
Well, hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a 10th grader at the Ellis School. I'd like to shout out my English teacher, Miss Brennan, for supporting me on my essay memoir, and my older sister, Lowry, who told me to read Pride and Prejudice, even the Pride and Prejudice only weeks before school had ended last year, even though it was my summer reading. And I'd like to thank my mother and my dad who brought me to here today, and my great aunt Ruth and my Nana who have always encouraged me to read and to write.
Now, before you share your writing, I'm curious whether you think it's important to write, and I have a feeling I know the answer to that, but if so, why? Writing is important to each of you, and any of you can start.
I'll start. I started writing from a really young age. I started writing poetry, and it took me actually a long time to start reading. And I think that writing myself helped me to open up and expand my horizons to read more, and I think that writing really helps you learn and understand more of your surroundings and go a little bit outside the world that you're so used to.
That's really interesting because some people say that in order to become a really good writer, it helps to read a lot, just to get exposed to other people's styles and sometimes the information. But you developed more of a love for reading by writing, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it was really your own inner thoughts and the kind of inner monologue you have from a day-to-day basis that you realize, you know, I don't have to keep this inside. You can write this and put this on a Google Doc.
That's a great thought. Would either of you two like to add something about why writing matters to you personally, or why just in general it's a good thing to do?
Sure. I really write as like a, it's sort of an innate impulse. When I was like really, really young, I had a lot of trouble sleeping, or I would just stare at the ceiling and just come up with like little poems. It amused myself, and I didn't really write them down until high school, honestly, because it was just a way of thinking. And when I actually got down to writing things down, it was just like a new way to physicalize thoughts, dig into things, or just sort of excise them from my brain so they're not ricocheting around anymore, or so I can start thinking about things more deeply.
What a great way of expressing that. Did you ever think of poems at night as you were lying awake and thinking that you would remember them when you got up and then you couldn't remember them?
I am sure there are thousands that have just evaporated into air, because I know this has been a habit for me for years. I think I've written down, like I've had one, remembered it and written it down in the morning once.
Yeah, and I guess I ask that question because that happens to me a lot. Do you still have trouble sleeping sometimes?
Sometimes.
I do sometimes, a lot. And some people, head hits the pillow, they're immediately asleep. I'm not that person at all. And sometimes I'll think of something and I'll get kind of excited about it and I know I won't forget it. But I do, almost all the time. What about you, Allie?
When I was in fifth grade and we were allowed to do NaNoWriMo, which Mrs. Little was the teacher who did it with us, I had like a really fun time, and that was really like my first exposure to writing stuff, and it made me really happy to write like a fantasy story or like anything that was happening in my mind. And now, like in eighth grade now, I just like if I'm like stressing out about something, I'll write it down and just like it'll be gone.
Yeah, it really puts things in perspective. You realize that something that could be completely taking up all your thoughts, when you write it down, it puts it in context. What was the kind of project you mentioned? Gave it a name.
NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. It's November.
Thank you. I was thinking maybe it's a game. Like,
no.
Let's all play NaNoWriMo.
I remember doing that as well when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
I never have known that before. It National Novel Writing Month. It is like NaNoWriMo or something. I like that. Well, it was good that your teacher introduced you to that. We'll talk a little bit more after you each share some writing, but did any of you want to add anything based on what you just heard?
I have a lot of respect for anyone who can manage to do National Novel Writing Month. Isn't it like a word like limit a day?
Well, so what it is like you can set yourself a goal and you have to... like a goal of words. So like mine for this year was like 7,000, and I got 7,000 words, and then like it was like really, really fun. And then you can actually publish your stories. I never have, because like I only do it for fun. I don't actually like want to publish it, but it's like really, really fun, and you only have a month. So like every day you have to write this many words. Like Mrs. Little actually gives us a count. So like she'll give you like goals like goal numbers, and then she'll say how, and then it'll, like, on the other side of the column, it'll say how many words you have to write per day. I forget how many words I had to write, but it was really fun, but it was kind of like really like not stressful, but like, because I had a lot of stuff like school and volleyball and like sports, and my brother had stuff, and like I would have to go to his stuff. It was like it helped just like sitting there and writing stuff down, because it helped like get rid of all the bad stuff, but it was still like really, really stressful. But I mean, at the end of the day, it was fun, so that's all that matters.
Good on you for putting aside, you know, time to do something creative with all of that going on.
Thank you.
You had mentioned the word limits. Do you find it hard to be short or hard to be long when you're writing?
That is a...
Or I shouldn't say hard, but challenging. I think short is really hard.
I think it's not that I write short things or long things. It's that I write slowly. Like, something will come out to be... I rarely extend beyond a couple pages, but I always do it a couple sentences at a time, and then I have to put it away and do something else and then take it back out. And I've never successfully functioned on, all right, you know, 200 words now and 200 later.
So you're really deliberate, sort of putting a lot of thought into it and then writing and then putting it aside.
Oh, yeah, I think it's genetic. My old man used to spend, like, he would lock himself in his, if he had to write something long, my mother tells me the story, he would, like, lock himself in his office, and he wouldn't leave for hours, and then he'd come out, and my mother would be like, how'd you do? And he'd be like, I wrote 5 sentences.
It's interesting.
He's a good writer.
Well, I can't wait to hear from each of you. We didn't... decide who would go first.
I'm not going first. That's not happening. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sarah, do you want to?
I'll take this.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead first. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Allie, I like working with you. Allie, like, there's no blank stares. It's like, nope.
Very certain.
Not me.
No apologies.
Not going to do it. Sarah, please give us some context, if need be, to help explain what you're going to share with us.
So this is a essay memoir piece. It's titled Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice, and My Personal Reading Journey. I guess the timeline would be I actually finished the book a little earlier than I expected, before finals even happened. So it talks about the summer and my sister going off for college and the similarities I felt between myself and the main characters in Pride and Prejudice. So I'll begin. As a younger sister, I tend to get a lot of hand-me-downs from my older sister. Most of them are kilts and polos, but there's a special time of year when I acquire the best hand-me-downs, the summer reading books I'll have to read for each year. Unlike years past, where I waited till July to read my summer reading, I started it abnormally early this year. It was Monday, April 13th, when I first cracked open Pride and Prejudice. The rips in the cover, a worn spine, and messy annotations were clear signs of my sister's love of the book. And surely by the end of my reading, the book's condition was even worse. When Caroline Bingley, Mr. Bingley's sister, makes fun of the Bennett sister's love of reading, she sarcastically reflects how there is no enjoyment like reading. For the most part, I felt the same way as Caroline. Growing up, most of the people around me loved to read, but I just couldn't find the fun in reading a book. Most of the books I read were the ones I was assigned in school. The plots were already spoiled and just left me uninterested. But despite my past dislike of reading, when I read the opening line of Pride and Prejudice, I was immediately glued to it. I loved how things moved quickly, and one was promptly thrown into the lives of the Bennet girls. The personal writing style of Jane Austen elevated my love of the text and kept me reading even through the duller chapters. I finished Pride and Prejudice on May 12th, 2021. Austen's final word was fini. That word, made me think that in a few weeks, school would be finny, and my time with my sister under one roof would be finny. In the last few days I had with my sister before she went off to work at a camp for the summer, I was reminded of a strange yet calming similarity between my own life and the lives of the eldest Bennett sisters. My sister was going to be gone for 3 months, the same time as Jane spent in London. I channeled the style of Austen and decided to write my sister letters. Though I often sent letters to my sister in past summers when she was away doing something, my new Austenian obsession fueled me to write her almost every week. I should have known that what her response was going to be, since she had never written me back before. When Elizabeth travels to Lambton, she gets left in a similar situation to me. We were both a good deal disappointed in not finding a letter. The absence of a letter or even a postcard made me mad. Even though she was taking care of a bunch of little children at her job, she did make time to text me every once in a while. She told me how she read to her campers the French versions of the Harry Potter series, a personal favorite of hers, which she has tried to get me to read several times. Though for the most of my life I dodged her book recommendations, I could not escape Pride and Prejudice. When I messaged my sister to ask what her favorite scene from the novel was, she replied, "I like the awkwardness of the first proposal." Her response didn't surprise me. As a fan of awkward comedies such as The Office, Darcy's initial proposal to Elizabeth is one of those scenes where the situation is so cringeworthy that you just have to laugh. Austen's writing paints us an incredibly realistic picture of the mind of her main character, which gave me loads of secondhand embarrassment as I first read the scene of Darcy's first proposal. After hearing Darcy's confession of love, she stared, colored, doubted, and was silent. Somewhere deep down in my soul, I resonated with Elizabeth. Though I've never been unexpectedly proposed to, I could recall awkward situations where all I could do was stare off into the distance and wish I was somewhere else. As June ended, my parents and I went off on our annual road trip. One of our favorite stops is Sherman's Bookstore in Bar Harbor, Maine. When we arrived at our destination, I was eager to go to the bookstore and find something to fulfill the hole Pride and Prejudice had left after my completion of it a month before. I searched almost every aisle for a suitable replacement, but didn't find something that really spoke to me. As I was starting to lose hope, I stumbled across the Austen section. It was almost completely bare and only had about 7 books left. The majority were various editions of the novel I had already read, but one stood out to me. It was Jane Austen's Persuasion. It was brand new, had a pristine spine, spotless cover, and became my new obsession. As I read the first pages, I fell back into the cozy atmosphere of Austen, as if I had just returned from a long journey. As I look back on my own reading journey, I am now reminded of the scene in which Elizabeth prepares to go on her journey. The distance is nothing when one has motive. Elizabeth's words are exactly how I look at reading today. Though it took me a while to feel the same love of reading others around me felt, I value it even more now than I ever could have at another age. Finny.
That was really, yeah, we can give you a little applause here.
That was really good.
Thank you.
It was remarkable, and I liked it because you really did do a good review of the book or an overview of the book, while also it is a memoir at the same time. You're a really good writer.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Now, I'm guessing Allie wants to go last.
I can go.
You're all right.
Okay.
Do you want to share? You have a poem, right?
I do have a poem. It was, until recently, the only thing I had submitted to my creative writing, club since the beginning of the year, all the way just a couple months in, because I do not submit nearly as much as I should.
I can understand it. Sometimes if it gives you pleasure on its own, you don't necessarily need to do that. But it's good to share with others. So tell me about your poem.
Alrighty.
Or actually, it could also stand on its own. You don't necessarily.
It might need to. I named it Post-Apocalypse, and that's what it's submitted under, although I hate the title now. It won a gold key, and then recently I found out that I won a silver medal for this one, and I'm very, very proud of that. I was also informed of that by Mark, who had been refreshing the page over and over again.
I got to get in touch with Mark. He sounds like
I think he's coming. I don't know what day, but I think he's going to – you might get a chance to meet him.
Make a note for Mark. He's going to become our our searcher, what's called Post-Apocalypse, and whenever you're ready, go ahead.
All righty. When it passes over you and doesn't end, what then? When the cresting wave you've been eyeing, still and stupid, on the horizon hits you flat on your back, and you aren't hot and boiling in your own blood anymore. When, foaming up at your feet, with all the relief, the cold sets in, and you're still breathing and moving and tired, and your eyes will still sting after you shut them tight. What next, when yesterday is set down on your porch step, hot and dead like some animal, over top of all the ones boiling beneath it? What now that the lights have gone out for the night and came on again for the morning? Little clicks like war drums, like your footfalls halfway between here and there, like when your heart kept beating so fast you were sure it would stop, but it went on and slowed and never stopped crying out like an infant on an airplane, like the shirt tag at the back of your neck, the chief irritant, the perpetual motion machine, the rain on the rooftop that will not pause for you to breathe, the breathing that will not pause for you to think, what then? What when lain before and behind you, cause and effect, flat path like fallen dominoes, like stone, and you can't fear it anymore or anything? What is there for you after, when questions beget answers, when you hit your head against the wall and it just hurts? The curtains will close, and behind them you will be there in the dark and constructed quiet. And when you go to sleep, you always wake up in the same place, and every time the world ends, it doesn't.
Wow. That's not only so well...
That was great. I love that.
Oh, my gosh.
That was Delana and from Penn Trafford Schools. And I love the way you... It's well written, but you also really delivered it incredibly well. It's just exacting, and gosh, it's really good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Now, Allie, what did you bring?
Okay, so I wrote a story about a girl who suffers with a lot of anxiety, and it kind of reminds me of myself and my friends because 8th grade's really hard.
Okay, very relatable.
Yeah.
Very relatable,
like with
story.
With confirmation and just 8th grade in general, and then volleyball on top of that and homework, it's just a lot. And so I wrote a story about a girl and her best friend. The main character's name is Sade, and she suffers with a lot of anxiety and stress. And yeah. I don't want to spoil it, so.
Well, here is Allie.
Okay, so my short story is called Voices. Sade, what's going on? Layla questioned her best friend in concern while leaning against her locker. Everything. My stress levels are really high right now, I responded, breathing heavily. Hey, where's your stress ball? Layla asked, trying to calm me down before I had a panic attack. I think it's in my bag. Can you look? I asked Layla while trying to control my breathing. Layla went through my backpack looking for my stress ball to help my stress levels go down. Found it, she beams. She gave it to me while saying, this should help. I squeezed the ball and I felt better. After that, we went to science. That was so boring, I stated. At least it's time to go home now, Layla commented while putting her books in her locker and getting ready to go home. You're right, I said in agreement. I got ready to go home. When I got home, I walked upstairs to my off-white bedroom. I felt the coolness of the wooden floors. I set my backpack on my desk near the bed. Before I did my homework, I went outside to the patio and sat on the chair so I could de-stress. As I was sitting there, a pink butterfly landed on me. It was the most beautiful pink I had ever seen. I found it so captivating. I moved and it flew away. Before it could get far, I followed it. I was so focused on following it that when I stopped to look around where I was in a dark, creepy forest. I'm not supposed to be here. Mom told me there's paranormal activity here, I said to myself while playing with the hem of my shirt. I was so nervous. I was ready to be sick to the stomach. I wandered around the forest and eventually found an old abandoned cottage. I decided it would be a good idea to go inside and see if anyone could help me out. The cottage was dusty. It looked like it hadn't been cleaned in decades. As I walked through the cottage, I looked for any sign of life. I smelled the smell of dust and death. It creeped me out. Dirt and dust were in every room. Windows were busted with glass all over the floor. The furniture was even worse. It was broken and not safe to sit on or use. I was so disgusted with the state of this establishment because I'm such a clean freak. When I'm in the room, everything has to be clean or I get the urge to clean everything. I decided to pick up the big shards of glass from the floor. After that, I went to go find a broom or something to sweep with. I looked through each closet, or what I assumed were closets, and finally found a broom in one of them. With the broom, I swept the floor to get rid of the dirt and dust that accumulated on it. This place looks so much better, I thought to myself. I went around to clean each room from the dirt, dust, and spiderwebs. Who goes there? A random voice boomed. Who are you? I screamed back in fear. I was trembling and shaking in my shoes at that point. Who goes there? It asked again in intimidating me. My name is Sade, and I got lost in the forest while following a butterfly, I squeaked in fear. Aw, poor soul, another voice said with sympathy clear as day. I must be crazy to hear voices, especially since clearly no one's here, I thought to myself. Oh no, you're not crazy. We're just ghosts, so you can't see us, the second voice reassured me. Well, that doesn't make me any less crazy, I answered the ghost. Wait, Sade, stop talking to them. There's no such thing as a ghost. You're just being crazy, I rambled to myself. I assure you we are real, the second voice told me. So, who are you both? I questioned, playing with my ring. There are way more than just the two of us, the second, more friendly voice informed me. Oh, just great. I've officially lost my mind, I thought to myself. Suddenly, all the ghosts appeared in front of me. I got startled and started to back away in fear. Hold on, she saw us, so she has to be banished from here. It's part of the curse we have. What curse? I asked him. A witch put a curse on us, the second voice explained. Why? I questioned. That's the thing. We don't know, the second voice told me. As much as we don't want to, you're officially banished from this forest and you can't ever come back, the head ghost boomed. As soon as he was done saying that, a gust of wind pushed me back out of the cottage and into the forest. I eventually found my way back home, and I was so confused and traumatized at the same time. When I got home, I rushed through the front door and ran as fast as I could upstairs, down the hall, into my bedroom. I raced to my bed and just laid there. I grabbed my phone to call Layla and tell her about what happened. I dialed her number, and when she picked up, I shouted, "Girl, come to my house right now. It's a code red. I repeat, a code red." I was panicking at that point. I thought I was completely out of my mind, and I needed my best friend with me. A few minutes later, Layla comes barging in my room with clear worries on her face. Are you okay? She asked in her mother mode. I had the craziest thing happen to me in the past, I don't know, like 20 minutes, I rambled on to her. You said it was code red, she reminds me. It is code red, Layla, I told her. I paced around my room trying to think of how to explain my situation to her. So basically, while I was outside on the porch, a pink butterfly landed on my finger. I was mesmerized by it, but it flew away, and I followed it. I wasn't paying attention to my surroundings and ended up in the forest that my mom clearly ordered us not to go into. If mom finds out, then I'm dead, I told her all at once. You're right, this is a code red, Layla affirmed. She then grabbed me and pulled me into a big hug. This will help calm her down, she thought to herself. We'll figure out something, she released the hug and shouted, Adelaide, get in here! My sister Adelaide came rushing in the room with confusion on her face. This better be important because I paused my workout to be here, my sister retorted. Calm down, we have a code red, Layla informed her. What the heck does that mean? Adelaide questioned. She went to sit on my bed. We have a situation, Layla informed her. Adelaide just nodded her head in understanding. So basically, long story short, I ended up in the forest Mom told us not to go into by following a butterfly, I explained to her. Don't worry, I won't tell Mom, Adelaide reassures me. She saw the relief on my face when she said that. Adelaide, we'll tell your mom, a voice in my head tells me. I looked around, confused for a second. Did you guys hear that? I asked both of them. Hear what? Layla asked. I heard a voice, I informed them. No, it was probably just the wind, Layla reasoned with me. Oh no, it's the curse, I said with fear in my voice. Hey girls, I'm home, my mom yells. I could hear my mom coming upstairs into my room. She will eventually find out, the voice came back and said. Hey Mom, I think it's time for therapy, I informed her while looking her dead in the eyes. She could see it on my face that I was ready. Okay, I will schedule an appointment as soon as possible, my mom told me. I know that you want to get rid of me. It will never happen. I'm here to stay, it said. You look horrible right now. Am I really that ugly, I asked myself. Yeah, you are. An hour later, her mom called me. Sade, honey, it's time to go to the therapist, my mom yelled to me from downstairs. I'll text you if anything new happens, I told Layla. If you want, you can go back to your workout now, I commented to Adelaide. I walked downstairs and called, Shotgun! We drove for what seemed like hours. Finally, we got there and I went to see the therapist. I played with the strings of my sweatshirt. Hello, I'm Dr. Hannah. What made you ready to come see a therapist, she asked me. Well, I've struggled with anxiety ever since sixth grade, and I'm always on edge thinking about what other people think about me. I'm also hearing a strange voice in my head, and it's freaking me out, I answered her. When did you hear this voice? She asked me. Today, actually. After going into the forest behind my house and finding a cottage, I went into the cottage and these two voices started speaking to me and that they were ghosts and that they had a curse casted on them, I informed her. Okay, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to have a notebook or a diary, and I want you to keep tabs on what the voice says and what you have anxiety about. After you do that, I want you to write down ideas on how to control the voice and reduce your anxiety, she tells me sweetly. It's time for you to go. I walk out of the therapist's office and back to the car where my mom is. So how'd it go? My mom asked me. I think this was a good idea, I told her. We arrived back home and I rushed upstairs into my room. I go back to my desk and pick up an extra notebook that I always leave on my desk. I grabbed a pencil and did the thing that the therapist told me to do. The voice came back the next couple days, either at school or at home. But whenever I did, when I got home that day, I would just grab the notebook and write it in. One day, the voice is gone. I didn't notice until later on that day. The voice was finally gone. I then realized that my anxiety levels went down, too. I was so happy. Thank you for breaking our curse, the voice thanked me. I then understood that it was a ghost in my head. I was at home, and at the time, I just started rushing to my sister's room. Adelaide, my anxiety levels dropped. I can feel it, I rejoiced with her. I'm so proud of you, sis. I knew you would get this thing all figured out, she said to me. Go tell Mom. I followed her orders and rushed downstairs to find my mom on the couch. Mom, my anxiety levels are lower than before, I told her. See, I knew the therapist was a good idea, she answered me. That's great, sweetie. I just thought about calling Layla and tell her the news, so I did. Layla, you will never believe it. My stress and anxiety levels dropped, I screamed in pure excitement. Finally! I thought that would take forever. I'm so happy for you, she exclaimed. Just then, the whole world turned right side up again. The voices and curse were gone for good, and throughout all of it, I learned how to control my anxiety.
Ooh, that was great.
Wow. That's
very relatable.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think anybody can relate to it, but that would be like a great YA book, right? Yeah. A young adult. For libraries, that was really wonderful.
Yeah.
Just
you.
Terrific. I want to thank all of you for being here today. Have any of you thought about what you want to do when you get out of high school?
Well, I have not even I'm not even in high school yet, so.
Yeah, you're in eighth now, which is a tough year.
It is a tough year. When I get into high school, I think I'll do some writing, but I think I'm also going to do, like, theater and stuff like that, because
I could see that.
Yeah. I've always loved doing theater, and there's actually a musical going on at my school right now. And so it's actually really funny. So me, my best friend, and my little brother are all doing it. And so I'm Elsa because we're doing Frozen Junior, because my school goes from kindergarten to eighth grade. So I'm Elsa, my best friend's Anna, and then my little brother's Hans. Uh-huh. So whenever we found that out, I go to my best friend and I say, Marina, I have to deny the marriage between my best friend and my little brother. I was like, oh, it's going to be super funny too.
How about you, Sarah? Any thoughts about, you're not the closest, but you're closer about what you might want to do after you graduate?
It's really the age where you're starting to think about college, being a sophomore, and I write for my school newspaper, the Elysian Journal, and I've really gotten into, like, writing movie reviews. I spend, like, so many hours of my day watching movies and that kind of stuff, so I'd love to work recent entertainment journalism, movie reviews. Like, I'd love to channel my hobbies and what I could do from a day-to-day basis into my job when I get older.
Excellent. We'll talk to you about opportunities to do, all of you, but stuff at our Youth Media Center, because we're looking for folks that want to do that. And let's turn to Delaina. You're the oldest, least among you three. any thoughts?
Oh, gosh. See, this is the difficult question. Right now, I am sort of terrified of everything. So I've really just been trying out a lot of, like, different sections, taking a lot of extracurricular courses and such, just to see what,
That's
you know.
Perfect. It's all reversible and solvable and manageable. Hopefully it seems that way. There's time to figure it out. Thank you to all three of you. And I hope we'll get a chance to see you again. You're great writers. There's a young guitarist who's going to play classical guitar coming up.
He's behind you.
Oh, there he is. Hi. I was going to say, you're welcome to listen to him out in the main studio. Thank you. Did any of you want to say something that you forgot to? Any hellos or?
Also say hello to the Rice Krispie group chat who's cheering me on.
Okay.
My good friends. Oh. We have very silly names for our group chats. We do everything random.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll say hello to Kate, who got ill and couldn't be here today, and Kayla, just saying hi.
Great. Hopefully we'll rearrange Kate. Rearrange for Kate to be here, not rearrange Kate.
Physically, no.
I'm amongst a bunch of writers. I got to be careful.
No. I would like to say hi to Mrs. Little, because I emailed her this morning, because she's kind of very forgetful. So it's her Achilles heel. So when she first emailed us, like, all the people that won about this, she was like, in the email, she was like, tell me when you guys do it. And so I'm like, she probably doesn't remember when I told her I would do it. So this morning at, like, 9 o'clock, I emailed her about it, and she's like, oh my gosh, I gotta find the email.
You
I
know,
gotta find the link.
You need to introduce her to Mark, and it would be all set. Thank you. Thanks to all three of you for being here today. And we'll hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
And coming up, Rylan DiStefano is here, and he'll have a full opportunity to share his music with you. That'll be in just a few moments. Well, just this past week, our microphones were rolling. Tuesday, March 29th, at Advocacy Day in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, SLB joined members of the Propel Schools Student Action Team as they spoke with state reps to advocate for new legislation that could provide $50 million in after-school and out-of-school time funding. The event was organized by the Pennsylvania Statewide After-School Youth Development Network, PSADEN, And our own Tad Whistle filed the story.
Hi, my name is David. I am a senior at Propel Industry High School.
My name is DeAndre Josie. I am a senior at Propel Montour High School.
Hi, my name is Christine Berry. I'm a current senior at Propel Montour High School.
My name is Janara, and we're at Advocacy Day at the State Capitol in Harrisburg today.
Advocacy Day.
We're at the Capitol right now in Harrisburg, and we're just advocating for after-school programs, you know?
Advocacy Day is a day where students come to the Capitol building to advocate how important after-school is to them and why more funding needs to be available for after school.
We were just meeting with some legislators to talk about after school programming, giving our insights.
Yes, we talked to legislators about how after school benefits us.
Hi, I am Sarah Morato, and I'm State Representative for the 21st District.
State Representative Mike Schlossberg, Democrat from the 132nd District, representing the City of Allentown and South Whitehall Township. So we have a bill that would dedicate $50 million every year to better fund after-school programs. It's something that's unquestionably important given the very real impact that after-school programs can have on kids today, especially kids who maybe grow up in more difficult surroundings where you have non-traditional families, parents who work, parents who don't have the opportunity to take care of their kids the way that others do. We want to make sure that these kids have the same high-quality opportunities and educational curriculum that others do.
It's a public safety issue because it's keeping kids off of the streets and in places where they feel safe and heard and have the freedom and autonomy to explore what passions they have. We've seen reports where for every dollar we invest in out-of-school time, it is nearly a $7 return for the public benefit. So it really is a smart investment.
I do believe that they did hear the message that we were trying to get across about funding for after schools.
After school is very important because it allows me to do a lot of things that other kids should have access to, but unfortunately don't.
I think after school is a way to get yourself out there and unlock more potential and find something within yourself that's been hidden.
And after school, I like to go to music class. We make beats and whatnot, and we get to sing and dance, and also like getting help from my math teacher because I need it.
Getting to do these different activities like a cooking club, dance club, painting club, whatever the club may be at that time, you're highlighting a new aspect of yourself that you didn't realize that was already there.
After school improves your character because I know in ninth grade I was not as confident as I am right now. And it just allowed me to have that confidence.
I have always found it as a second home. With my mom and my three other siblings, it's always kind of hard for her to get us right after school if need be.
Yeah, we're outside right now, and two members from the action team, DeAndre and Christina, are about to read their speeches that they wrote for after school.
It is difficult to look a kid in the eye and say no. It's as simple as that. And it's really difficult to look a kid in the eye and say no when they're saying, I want to learn more. We just had kids in my office who were talking about how after-school activity gives them the opportunity to learn more, to get closer with their teachers, to do homework, to get better grades. How do you say no to a kid who's looking to do better? And how do you say the public shouldn't invest in you? Of course we should.
Legislators need to hear from parents, from students, on why this is an important investment. And please call your state senator, your state representative, and tell them to support this $50 million appropriation towards out-of-school time.
I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope I opened your mind to the many opportunities involving out-of-school. Thank you for your eyes and ears.
Well, thank you to the Propel Schools Student Action Team and to all of the students statewide for self-advocacy for out-of-school time programming. Now, we've got a lot. This is going to stand out in my mind as a wonderful program. You just heard from our teen writers. In just a moment, Rylan DeStefano from Fort Couch Middle School is going to share some piano pieces, and then after the top of the hour, you'll hear from singer and songwriter, entertainer, U.S. veteran Frank Maynard, who's here. Thank you. Okay, Nevin and Aviana, it's time. Get ready to watch your brother. I just guessed your names. Your dad, Tony, told me. Those are the brothers of Ryland DiStefano, who is about to share a guitar with you. We'll talk with Ryland in between two selections that he is going to share. He's from Upper St. Clair and is in seventh grade, 12 years of age, at Fort Couch Middle School. Join me now as we welcome Ryland DiStefano with his first selection. Beautifully done. Can you tell me the name of what you played? Is it?
It was Vals Español by José Ferrer.
Thank you. I'm curious, you've probably been asked some of these questions before, but how long have you played classical guitar?
I've played for 8.5 years.
My goodness, so you started when you were almost 5. Do you remember what it was like when you were just starting? Was it hard?
Yeah, harder than it is now.
It still is challenging sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
What are some of the things that make it challenging?
It's a lot of the hand positioning and some of the different chords and notes that have to be played.
Do you sometimes know in your head what you want your fingers to do, but is it hard to get them to do what you want them to do?
Yes, sometimes, yeah.
I've never been able to overcome that, trying a lot of times. Do you think, is there a secret or a way, like how have you become as accomplished as you are? What do you do to get to be, to play at the level? You play beautifully. I'm just curious how you approach things.
I try and play the pieces a lot and do it like a lot of technical hand like positioning practices to try and get where I want to be.
So some of it sounds like practice and even repetition sometimes, rather than hearing something as beautiful as what you just played, sort of just almost like exercise, just doing the same thing over and over. What else do you like to do? Do you like, do you have any favorite subjects or are there sports you like or other kinds of activities?
I like hockey and volleyball, and my favorite subject in school is social studies right now.
What are you learning in social studies?
American history.
And what part? Are you at a particular era? I'm just curious.
We're at the Civil War right now.
Oh, that's a pretty important part to be discussing. How did you learn? Are you self-taught or has somebody helped you accomplish what you've done? Do you have a teacher?
Yes, I have a teacher, and I started in North Carolina when I was 4, and yeah.
And what was the teacher you had in North Carolina?
Her name was Miss Judy.
Miss Judy, and who of your other teachers been? Do you have one here too?
Yes, his name is Brandon Lyons.
Oh, I know Mr. Lyons. He's a very good teacher. I hope you like him.
Yeah.
He's a very good mentor for you. That's great. And I want to thank Hedda Sherapin, who connected your dad, Tony DiStefano, with me, because Hedda's a good connector. What advice would you have for people, anybody, including adults who might be thinking about playing a musical instrument and haven't tried one yet?
Everyone starts somewhere, and you have to keep practicing and working hard to get to where you want to be.
That's great advice. I want to get to your next song, but before you share it, is there anything else you'd like to say or talk about?
No, not really.
We'll let your fingers do the talking. Could you tell me the name of what you're about to play?
Yes, this is called Maria Luisa by Julio Sagreras.
And let me again tell you that you're listening to, and forgive me, they used to do this with me all the time, like mention age all the time, because you're really accomplished, and so people like to brag about you. Ryland is 12, 7th grade, and I just want you to keep that in mind because of how beautifully he's playing. Again, Ryland DiStefano. Just beautifully done. Thank you, Ryland. Stick around. We'll get some pictures. And thank you guys for, I'm looking at your brother and sister out there. How old is Nevin?
Nevin is 9.
And Iviana?
Nevin is 10.
10. Nevin just gave you some feedback there. 10. And you're 12. And it's Iviana. How old is she?
Avi is 6.
6. Is it?
7.
Am I pronouncing her name right? Avi.
Yeah.
Aviana.
Yes.
You know what? As you get older, it's good to not know all the ages. Let me think. How old's your dad? No, don't tell me. Thanks to you for being here today.
I have a website.
Oh, indeed.
It's.